Everybody, Pastor Buddy sitting in here with you tonight on WWCR around the world on the mighty transmitting Jewel of the South. Glad to have you aboard. We're live. It's the 16th day of July. And man, we are in for some disturbing, perilous, unnerving times of the last days. You know, the Bible says in the last days that there'll be wars, rumors of wars, and earthquakes, famines, and man, are we ever into the beginning of the last days? Well, the last days were actually forming back in the times of Christ. He called it the last days. When he came, it began the final countdown of the verdict, and the verdict is written in the book of Revelations, where it talks about these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Well, I just get thrills and chills when I read that one. But in the meantime, that is the weapons of our warfare, not carnal. Can we stand against the new world order, or the wizardry of the controllers of the formulation? We're seeing the actual climactic. We're in the beginning of the end of the sealing of the New World Order. Well, we've heard about it. We've been warned about it. We have talked about it. We have preached it and talked it in the halls of justice, offices, workshops, and the farms and things of this nature around the world by a common man. Well, it is the elite that form the power of the world. They planned and they plot. The power elite is not altogether surfaced. They have, with their wide secrecy covering their operations and their decisions and the power, can mask their intentions, their operations, and their consolidation. New men come into power and assume its existence without question. That is from the Power Elite, written in 1956 by C. Wright Mills. This is a quote from Mr. Richard Nixon, our president, that was disgraced for making a few tapes, probably trying to just protect his rear end, The nation's immediate problem is that while that common man fights America's wars, the intellectual elite sets its agenda. Today, whether the West lives or dies is in the hands of its new power elite. Those who set the terms of public debate and manipulate the symbols with the conditionings, they decide whether nations or leaders will be depicted on 100 million television sets as good or bad. This power elite sets the limits of the possible for presidents and for Congress. It molds the impressions that move the nation or that mire it in tragedy. Well, 1980, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Nixon made that statement. Notice this. At the national level, this conditioning of the public might be brought about through certain crises, such as a terrorist attack. For the sake of peace and security, people will be willing then to give up certain of their freedoms to the extent that we can take control. Published in July 2001, 2 months before the terrorist attacks of September 11th, by Dennis L. Cuddy, Ph.D., from the book The Globalist. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've been thinking about the Wizard of Oz. How that this crafty individual sits in this scene high in the heavens. They had to follow the brick road, the yellow brick road, that's the money trail, to find the wizard. Well, behind the wizard is the international elite, the globalists, who have in their plans a certain agenda. We're going to talk about that tonight from the Wizard of Oz perspective. Let's say that you were the enemy. What would you do if you owned 97% of the wealth of the world already? Well, you would see to it that those who could possibly eat you out of a house and home could be eliminated. That would be well and good. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the agenda of Satan is to kill, steal, and destroy. We're on the verge. We are in the infant stages of the beginning of the end through the great prophetic battle that's to come in the book of Revelations, Armageddon, such as a time of trouble, such as the world has never experienced. And we do have, right now, going on in the powder keg. You see, the fuse, short fuse at that, is lit, and the time is short, and the globalist must move swiftly. Now, let's go back and review what we talked about in the 1800s, 1871 to be exact. This letter was written by Albert Pike, exposing the agenda that was actually hidden that far back, when he specifically stated that there would be three world wars. That was before World War I, before World War II, and before the soon-to-be coming to a neighborhood near you, World War III. It's going to affect you in a way that you have never even realized. Out of that, out of the chaos, will come the Sovietizing of the world, the communist agenda, the socialist state of the world will be formulated by the elite ruling at the top, and the bees, the worker bees, and they won't be many of them, because you see, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, all of the hidden inventions that we have in our arsenal of technology will then come to play. They will bring out the radical forms of energy. They will transmit, or they will think to do this. Now, I'm going to show you that Satan has a plan, and then I'm going to tell you that our Heavenly Father, the Creator, has a plan, and man is just a simple pawn between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. There's just nothing we can do. It's already programmed, glory to God, into the timetable, the timeline for World War III to start. We are right at the beginning of the start of one of the most terrible times that man has ever known. Listen to this now. At the national level, the condition of the public might be brought about via certain crises. Now, isn't that interesting? And we have one crisis, it seems like, that no news now is good news. However, we are not exempt from any news because we are bombarded today with more news. This news is controlled by the elite. As Mr. Nixon said, 100 plus, more like now, he was talking about the United States, but we could make that the world, and we're talking about billions of TV sets of the condition of the sheeple as they sit dumbly, blindly, ignorantly in front of the tubes on the couch with their potato chips, being entertained on one side and being conditioned on the other. We are a nation of lovers of pleasures. We can enjoy the bombs falling on precision targets as they use precision bombing to take out X marks the spot. Or, this one's for you, Saddam, down your smoke stack. We are so precise, or at least we think we are, that our tanks, our missiles, our planes, our technology, the way that war is being waged today is tremendous, the technology in advancement of war now as an entertainment, just like the gladiators that had the battle in the primitive conditions that the Christians were being fed to the wild beast of Rome. So then, will this wild beast, this terrible, this frightening, this most unholy coalition of a new world order will rise to take over the world? You see, if you amount to anything in Washington these days, it is because that you have been plucked or handpicked from an Ivy League school. Harvard, Yale, Kennedy School of Government. You've shown an aptitude to be a good Ivy League type, and so you're plucked, so to speak, and you're assigned your own written success. You are assigned a certain role in government somewhere, and then your success is monitored and tracked, and you go where the pluckers and the handpickers put you. You only achieve that which is laid out for you. And so then, at that conditional level, we have a controlled, open conspiracy to rule the world. Bill Clinton has actually openly written in support of world government. Now, don't it make sense to have a world government and all of this confusion of nations and these rebels or renegade nations, let's say? Isn't the United States a little bit out of control? Don't the New World Order, don't the United Nations need to come in and smack us on the hands? Well, that's what's happening right now. We're going to go, as I said, into a world socialist government. We're going to, if you will, we're going to synthesize Western capitalism and Eastern communism and join them together. In fact, Joseph Stalin, in a speech in April 1924, pronounced that the combining and the collaboration of all nations within a single world system of economy constitutes the material basis for the victory of socialism. Well, the government wants in on your private life. They have to know, they have to see, they have to hear, they have to smell, and they have to taste every activity that you have now, even now, they got to know. Well, where do we get off? Or where do we get on this terrible beast system that's coming upon the world to deceive or to destroy through the agenda of those that possess the power, this global elite? Will they use this great society that they have in mind for good? Well, let's look at the agenda. Remember, the Bible said, these shall make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them. Now, this is a long enduring process because that prophecy started in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. The division, the separation, light and darkness, the power of the social elite, the ones that do not care for the poor but claim that they do, setting up beggarly socialist societies so that they can give you a handout when they want you to have one, when you beg long enough or hard enough or plead for your daily portion from the hand of the King. Isn't that what Christ reminded us of in Matthew chapter 24, that the time of trouble would come such as the world had never seen or ever will? We are now within the limits of achieving the start of the very end. We are at the threshold of the perils of those who proclaim, well, we need to fight this war, Pastor Buddy. You see, they're always out to create a boogeyman. And I'd like to tell you about some of the things that this global elite through the Rhodes Scholarships, which was merely a facade to conceal the secret society, which all of the members of the elite belong to or have gone through or have been trained to carry out the agenda of the World Council of Foreign Nations and the global elitists that rule from behind the scenes in a shadowy government. These are the evil ones. Have you ever seen Satan? You know what his mission is? Kill, steal, and destroy. You think it's being done today? That's what we're into. Killing, stealing, and destroying. We're stealing the wealth of a innocent nation in Iraq. Saddam didn't do anything except keep the peace of Iraq. Nobody dared to speak out against him. Sure, he was a tyrant. Sure, he was a dictator. But at least their people were safe in the streets. Now, since democracy, the demons of democracy have come in, ladies and gentlemen, we have wreaked havoc. We have torn up law and order and give them a divided house, brother against brother. Is that a formation of the goal of the New World Order? To kill, to steal, and destroy? Of course. Now, we're after the enemy over there. The terrorists shouldn't ever be allowed to come back on our soil. When the U.S. Air Force stood down and let the hijacked planes run all over the country, flying in erratic formations, and yet not one single plane. Oh, this is, you're under our protection. We will watch over you. And then that's pulled off right under the nose of the mightiest military all inclusion. You don't think that they knew that these planes were on the radar? You don't think they knew where they were at? Why is it that they had these situations, these war games being planned? Some of the planes was over in Canada. Some of the planes that should have been in Washington, D.C. were flying out of the country. The jets that are supposed to guard. And then we believe that a 200-foot wingspan airplane with all of the people aboard crashed into the Pentagon when men, even generals, even military generals say it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. What's going on? Who is these global elitists that had to fictionalize a boogeyman that we could get an excuse to go into Iraq and to hunt down Osama, this elusive one man that we finger and blame him with a walkie-talkie somewhere deep in a cave, riding on a donkey through the desert, when we have the global elitists that sit in the Pentagons of the high ivory towers with communications that would make Mr. Osama's walkie-talkie, donkey-donkey, ashamed of itself. And yet we didn't know that he was using his walkie-talkie to engineer and orchestrate one of the greatest terrorist attacks upon America and the history of America. Now, if we can, according to the elitists, if we can create a national emergency, a sense of urgency, if we can bring about on the national level the condition of the public by certain crises, that we can control or they will give up their peace. Well, what did we do after 9/11? We grabbed our American flags and we gave our government a blank check, and we're still paying the bill in Iraq because it's costing $2.5 billion a day to maintain this terrible war machine to go into Iraq to hunt down the weapons of mass destruction that did not exist, to capture Mr. Saddam, who himself is probably in on the world elite game. You see, Russia and China, which are supposed to be opposed to us, are actually giving the two factions of thought. You see, the way for the global elitists to capture everyone is to play the shell game. We create a bad guy or a bad country, and then we have the good guys against the bad guys. We donate more money, tax revenue, in expression of creating the large war machine that we've got and the defense spending. And who laughs all the way to the bank? Hal Burton, Dick Cheney, Incorporation, all marching to the bank with the tons and tons of bullion and silver and gold of treasure. We're not talking about, they don't carry the FRNs and hide them away. They know that that's a worthless piece of paper. They trade everything on the world market, and then they gather the silver and gold because the elite, who have 97% of the wealth of the world in their underground bank vaults as I speak this message of the Wizard of Oz. Follow the yellow brick road to a time of trouble of the international Canaanites as they're hanging from the roots of evil where the power and the wealth of money is, the Rhodes Scholars, the elite, the ones that run this earth, that have your sons and daughters to die and shed their blood in the sands of the past. I'd just like to talk to you about the many wars that we've been in. The Bible says about wars and rumors of wars. If you was to look at the list, and I've got a list, and I hope that I'll have time before I get through with the Wizard of Oz series to show you that we are at and in the time of the final trigger mechanism to bring in World War III that was prophesied long before Mr. Albert Pike ever wrote his famous letter and penned down the three major wars that would bring about the foundational exchange of the New World Order. The United Nations is just an agenda of the elite for the nations to come together and to act like that they are in control of their sovereignty of nations when they must play ball with the political faction of the elitists who call the shots behind the scene. And then our figureheads of these Rhodes Scholars and like manner of the learned institutions around the world, which have been taken over and controlled by the system of the Illuminati. Well, they've got an agenda. Why? Because the power and the elite, they understand that it's going to be difficult to get the people of the world to accept a world government all at once. And so then a gradualistic approach was suggested through the Association of Helpers and members of the Canadian Rhodes Scholar P.E. Colbert in Postwar Worlds in 1942 wrote this quote, "A world association of binding together and coordinating regional groupings of states may evolve toward one universal federal government." Paul Volcker, the head retired now of the Federal Reserve, also said, "Whether you like it or not, get ready to accept a new world order. We want that the states may evolve toward one universal federal government. World government is the ultimate aim." Now, this sounds good. Now, listen to all advantages of a one world government. Everybody has an identification number. There is no borders. No place you can run and no place you certainly can hide, because everyone will be identified through the globalist elite computer system that they have set up. That's being processed right now. We are being conditioned, and we grudgingly give ground toward a new world order. Our parks in America have been purchased and sold to the biosphere, the nations at large. The United Nations control all of the federal land because it's mortgaged away, and we have paid the price as citizens as we sit idly by, asleep at the wheel, hypnotized before the Wizard of Oz. Oh my. World association binding together and coordinating regional groupings of states involving toward one universal federal government. Is that coming? It's already here. There's nothing you can do about it. Mikhail Gorbachev, in his State of the World Forum in 1995, stated, "We cannot leap into world government through one quick step, but rather we must use progressive regionalization to finalize the deal." Oh, that's the guy that was the leader of Soviet Russia. That's the one that tore down the wall. Remember him? Ladies and gentlemen, this wall was an imaginary wall, of course, between East and West. It was a psychological boundary to create large defense spending to rape and loot and to use the sons in wars and skirmishes and unrest because they rule through chaotic conditions. Well, if you look at the news in the morning on your Fox News, Fox News, crazy like a fox, owned by the international globalists, and they are the parrots that hawk out along with CNN and the rest of the news outlets, as Mr. Nixon stated in 1980 that 100 million televisions plus in America now, that was 80, will be doing the globalist elite conditioning factor come Monday morning as the armchair quarterbacks, or these quote-unquote beautiful chicks that sit at the desk of Fox News with their legs highly crossed and their butts exposed as we gawk and Google at some beautiful woman as they cram our minds full of junk and we swallow it like a bird in a bird's nest. And we'll never, 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 until we return back to the covenant principles, of Yahweh being our king. Did you know that Satan does not want Yahweh to be king? Did you know that he offered our Savior the role of being number two? Now, wait a minute here. If he would have taken the number two chair, who would have been sitting in the number one seat? Well, that would have been Satan. But did you know that the Lamb who will make war with this same type of mind control condition, the Bible said to keep your mind pure, to study to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that know that you are before the Wizard of Oz in this giant globalistic system that is actually cutting off your escape. We're like sheep surrounded by the wolves. We are at the mercy of the approaching socialism of the New World Order. It's the foundation finance cartel, and it promotes the ideals of government by the elite, not a government by the people. In other words, Mr. Bush has done stated that he would like to come back if he could get a reincarnation chance, that he'd like to be a dictator. Well, let him grow a Hitler-type mustache, and I'm sure that he could fill the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, we say, well, Pastor Buddy, our president's working night and day, and glory to God, and I'm a Democrat, and I'm a Republican, and I'm this and I'm that. We're nothing but pawns in the hands of the elite, and Mr. Bush is one of the elite. He's a Yale graduate, member of the Skull and Bones Society, where if you know their agenda, and I preached on that in the revelation of the things that are kept in the secret societies, you would be amazed at how the New World Order pursues relentlessly around national sovereignty, eroding its laws piece by piece. We're now under the control of a liberal federal communist, socialist judge system. We can't even worship our Savior. We can sing about Him in our churches on Sunday morning, but on Monday morning when you go to work, you got to keep your mouth shut. You can't even exclaim the righteousness of a nation through a redeemed, resurrected Savior. You might offend someone, and the globalist New World Order does not believe in a risen Savior. You'll never hear Mr. Bush talk about a risen Savior. You'll hear him say, God bless America, and then he leaves it there. Bill Clinton said, God bless America. You ever hear him confess his faith in Christ? Oh, they go to church on Sunday morning. Yeah. Well, that's natural, because this is a Christian nation, and they need the votes of the Christian to get their hidden agenda on, and they do not care to sacrifice their own and even you or even their own belief systems to compromise them as they come crawling like snakes to get their way. During Governor Clinton's 1992 presidential campaign, his Rhodes Scholar roommate at Oxford University, the CFR director, Strobe Talbot, wrote in Time magazine in 1992 that perhaps national sovereignty wasn't such a great ideal after all. But it has taken the events in our own wondrous and terrible century to clinch the case for world government. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they're all trained to speak the self-same thing. They're all trained to know these things in advance. The order of their education is to control. Now, their ideal of population control falls into two broad categories: limiting the size of human society and or monitoring and controlling the movement of individuals within that society, and intentionally reducing the bulk of the world's population through genocide, via the introduction of population slaughter, orchestrated conflicts, and lethal bioengineered disease organisms introduced via the vaccines and other means of external transmission. You said, about it, you're paranoid. No. It's just the truth. Did you know the safest place that you can go is nowhere? There's no place safe anymore. Remember, the Bible said when they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. Now, why would the Illuminati, why would they have a plan to reduce the world's population through wars and through division? There is a certain people in the earth that they have a mission to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the mission. One that they cannot control, a mind, an independent mind, something that knows the truth, something that has been enlightened. The Bible said, my sheep hear my voice, and that's the ones that the New World Order, the Antichrist, are hell-bent on destroying from this planet. There shall be a great persecution in the last days of Jacob's trouble. It's a time of Jacob's trouble, not any other family in the earth. It's a Jacob trouble end time situation. Right now on the brink of war in the Middle East. This war will spread to the covenant relationship of the seed of Ishmael. The Bible says in the 25th through the 27th book of Genesis that Ishmael will have a covenant, and this covenant is a sword shall remain in his hands forever. We went in to take over Iraq. It was a piece of cake. In 3 weeks, we had done subdued the army that Saddam had stationed as a defense. All this was a part of the globalist plan. Mr. Saddam was in on it. You say, well, he was an Arab. Why would he be in? The Bible said that all of the nations of the world will be gathered together in the last days to fight against the coming of the revelation of the true God, Yahweh. They have just as many and much reasons to fit into the globalist plan. You see, they couldn't survive without the globalist authorization and the Council on Foreign Relations, known as the Wise Men, that set the agenda which will reduce the world's population by 2/3 at the appointed time. And the Bible said, now here, you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you're just imagining things. My God, get a handle on your message here. Well, let me quote you a scripture. I'm just strictly trying to frame you a scenario that is scripturally oriented out of my understanding and my teaching. Listen to what the Bible said. Except these days be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved. Now, let me repeat that scripture. You think I'm paranoid? Well, then, if I am, I got it from the man from Galilee, the one that walked on the water, the one that turned the water to wine, the one that healed the sick, the lame, and the blind, the one that promised he would return in flaming fire and take vengeance and destroy the author, but not the finisher of the New World Order. Satan himself is orchestrating behind the scenes. Ladies and gentlemen, these reptilian, shape-shifting, demonic demons are now merging through the plane of existence of the fourth dimension, and they're now merging into bodies of flesh to rule the world with a rod of iron. And the Bible says, except this agenda to kill, steal, and destroy. Unless there is an intervention, unless something happens, unless there is an awakening, I have a hope, I have a prayer, I have a song in my heart daily, even so come. Yahweh Shua, back in a flesh body, with the wounds in your hands, and the cut and the scars of this terrible demonic demon of Satan that inflicted pain upon your body, that you may exact vengeance upon the ungodly, upon the elite, upon the Jason Society, upon the Council of Foreign Relations, upon the Illuminati's ideal of population control, that the righteous blood... You see, ladies and gentlemen, Satan had this plan to control the population of the world, and the ones that he wanted to eliminate was the righteous. The Bible said he hated Abel because his deeds or his bloodline was righteous, and his own bloodline or his own deeds were unrighteous. You say, "Oh, Pastor Buddy, well, you're just summarizing." You're just summarizing the effects of something that was probably just a thought or some writer's vain imagination. The Bible says that all the righteous blood from Abel will be avenged by the coming of the Son of Man, when he comes in power with great glory, with all of his angels with him, and he's coming soon. But before he does, there shall be a power-drunk elite that will see the results of their feverish work since Albert Pike prophesied, being one of the elite of the New World Order. His tomb is 13 blocks from the High Masonic Temple of the... Have you ever seen how Washington, the Federal District of Columbia, is laid out? Did you know that this little nation within a nation, the Federal District of Columbia, where the federal government, not the government of the people, but the federal government, is making its laws. Did you know the Vatican has its federal district? Did you know that London, England, with the Rothschild Empire, has its little 600-acre monetary law engineered by the globalist elite? And the author of this plan of all the bioengineered diseases, of all of the pain, all the suffering, all the Gulf War illnesses, all of the things that have brought about sickness and disease and suffering and death. The author of that is written in St. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44. The Bible says that he was a liar, that he was a murderer, and he's the author of the New World Order. You see, that's the reason why that you should not join or participate or give in to. That's when you see the time of trouble such as the world has never seen. When you see that time of trouble, the Bible said flee to make provisions to get to the mountains. You people that live on the coastal shores of the nations, you need to flee into the mountains. You people that are housed in large populous centers of these large, filthy, ungodly, corrupted Sodom and Gomorrah cities should flee to the mountains. That's what the Bible said to do, and you're not going to do it. Only a few, only the wise, only those that know the time of trouble and know the time of their visitation will prepare. The Bible said the time will come upon you unaware. Oh yes, the global one world order after this final war. This will be the mother of all battles. It is called the Battle of Armageddon, when Satan and the forces of evil has all of the kings and captains and the mighty men and the armies of the earth gathered into a one world order. That's right where it's at, ladies and gentlemen. Take a good long look at it. There's where she is, and that's what will be happening in those days. And then they will actually be so entrenched and drunken on the blood of the saints, in power so long and so deeply entrenched that they do not believe that heaven above or hell beneath will shake them out of their dens, or they will run at the last trump when they will cry for the rocks and the mountains. And they will cast their silver and gold in the streets for redemption, but it won't deliver them. They shall make their homes and abodes with the bats in the caves of the earth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, did you know they're already there? Did you know they've bored deep into the earth? They have made their secret places and their hideaways. They have stored their provisions. They're getting ready for a catastrophe, a unprecedented cataclysm to come upon the earth, and it will be bioengineered by the New World Order. Two-thirds of the population, one-third, one-third, and one-third, is the examples of the time. The Bible said in one-third died, the seas will turn to blood, it will be a time of trouble. We are in it. We are going through it. You must prepare. You must get ready. You must condition your mind. You must come out of the world. You must come out of the educational systems of the elite and learn the ways of Yahweh and not the ways of the heathen. That's what the Bible said, but you know what? The Bible said we will pipe to you, but you won't dance. We'll preach to you, and we'll send you prophets. You will stone them, criticize them, mock them, and laugh at them. You will turn them away. You will turn them out of your churches, your synagogues, or your assembly. You will deliver them up to be persecuted. You will deliver them up to be dishonored. Unless you belong to the 501(c) crowd, unless you have the globalist elite agenda, pay, pray, and prosper. The Bible said, marvel not if the wicked prosper. They will. We are now seeing the globalist elite and the system that they have designed. We have seen the expansion ideals in the Middle East. You'll see it. You'll see what Mr. Albert Pike stated in 1871. This is his statement. I foresee three world wars needed to bring about the establishment of a new world order, to solidly entrench it over man, that Satan, Lucifer, can be the god of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, World War I, World War II, and all the wars that I could mention, too numerous because of the lack of time here, in between the wars and rumors, wars scenario, and then here's what he said in the Third World War, to bring about the clash between the Zionist and the Islamist. Well, ladies and gentlemen, somebody pinch me if I'm asleep at the wheel here at the microphone tonight. If that's not happening, even as we speak, the Zionist and the Islamist, the Muslim world, are now engaged head-to-head and toe-to-toe. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, it was just a lucky guess back in 1871. Can you imagine a visionary that is filled with some kind of spirit that would identify something that would happen over 100 years later to come true? I envision, he said, for the culmination or the climactic third world battle before we gain supremacy as the elitist, as the Satanist, and he was a Satanist, as is many of the secret order. A lot of men are unaware that the elite are all globalist for Satan to rule the world. Satan is the god of this world, and they serve him with a fervor, with a commitment, and with a cause. And I've got to get out of here. My time is coming gone, ladies and gentlemen. And this is part two of The Wizard of Oz. I'll do part three next Sunday night on WWCR around the world on The Mighty Voice, the transmitting jewel of the South, on The Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. You don't want to miss a part three. I'll get into some of the mysteries of the New World Order and the global elitists as they have got us following the yellow brick road to beg for a brain before the wizard. Ladies and gentlemen, how long will we be without our sight, O blind Israel? How long shall we grind at the mill with the taskmasters increasing our daily taxation load and planning and plotting our demise as they exalt themselves above the heavens where Satan and the global elitists said they would go? They shall make war against the Lamb and the seed of the Lamb, but the Lamb and his seed shall overcome them. Oh, my God. Oh, hallelujah. I can sing the praises and shout it on the housetop to 1,000 generations that I have never seen the righteous forsaken. For those that will return and repent and call upon him in a day of trouble, he shall deliver them. That's what the Bible said. And I read the last chapter. We win. As Satan and the global elite, they surrounded the camp of the saints around about, and fire came down from God out of heaven. That's the revelation of the truth. That's the word that will break the staff of ungodliness, for the word spoken is sharp as a two-edged sword, piercing and dividing even the asunder, the joint and the marrow of the bone, and is a discerner of good and bad. That's what's coming, ladies and gentlemen. Can you see it? Is the spirit fervent in your life? Are you concerned at all about your future, your children? How you say, Pastor, but ain't nothing I can do. I'm just one person, glory to God. You can send me a tithes and offerings. I've got the gumption, I've got the courage, and I've got the knowledge that's written in the Word of God. I'm an old soldier in the field. I've studied the Word of God for 50 years, backwards and forwards. I've read, I've prayed, I've meditated, I've fasted. I've counseled with the righteous. I've made no league with the devil and no pact. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to get out of here. If you'd like to write me tonight, this is the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. I'm live on the 16th day of July. Write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Just wish I had about 30 more minutes. So thank you for those that do contribute and help me every month. You're faithful. You keep my arms raised up. And I pray that someone else will join in to give us more time that I could preach. I need to preach about a 3-hour message where I can really get into it and really lay it out and really tell it. Like I could start at Genesis chapter 3, where the global elitists got their ideals from the seed of Cain, and they are alive and well on planet Earth and growing powerful even as I speak. Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call, send me a love offering. And say, Pastor Buddy, this is just to help push the load of the truth that is needed to break the back of the giant of Goliath. With little David and the mission of the apostolic ministry of the Shepherd's Call and all those that support me and hold me up, may the blessings and the grace of the eternal King bless you until his coming, which shall be soon, where every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess, where you shall bow the knee and look him in the eye. You'll either hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful of a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Or depart from me, you wicked servants. I never knew you. That's the end time decision. Are you going to join up with the New World Order? Are you going to do exploits? Are you going to preach the gospel? Are you going to go down and witness on the street corner? Or are you going to head for the mountains? My advice is to head for the mountains and the hills of Tennessee. Get on down here, down south, where we know we pass from death unto life. May the blessings of the eternal King be with you. May the blessings of joy be in your life. I'll see you next Sunday night live on WWCR with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. If you'd like to email me, that's buddy@netcommander.com. If you'd like to go to our website, that will be pastorbuddy.org or pastorbuddy.net. Either one of those are active right now. Rick, my good friend in Canada, my webmaster, he's busily working on it as we speak. May the blessings be, and when we get it completed, we'll surely give you an updated version of PastorBuddy.org. Until then, go to PastorBuddy.net for some of the things that we've got there. You can also get my telephone number, my email address, and many articles written on the faith. Blessings.
We'll bow down before the throne, and at his feet we'll cast the golden crown. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long.